We'll get to your open line calls for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Wild Card 4 starting us off this hour from Louisville, Kentucky. Rusty is hanging on. Hey, Rusty.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No worries. Glad to have you.
Well, I had a question. Maybe you could help me determine whether I'm going sane or insane.
Okay.
Here lately, the synchronicity has been, I mean, one thing after another. I guess it started July 3rd, 2008. A report on CNN, a young lady reported Mariner and Viking, I believe, maybe two of our probes had reported energy moving towards us from out in the galaxy. It's basically all that report says. Since then, I've started research into the 2012 sort of prophecy type deals. And it seems like the photon belt may be a candidate. It seems like that was also reported in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. And that this could somehow lead to the awakening of consciousness. Well, basically, I had, I don't know if you call it a spiritual experience. I don't know what it was. I've never experienced anything like it in my life. I was standing outside. I looked up at Orion. It seemed perfectly in the sky above me. And a feeling of peace, calm, serenity that I've never felt. That, you know, I didn't realize. Anyway, I've had that, you know, that feeling. It stuck with me. I don't know where it's coming from. I feel like, I said, like time's short. Like, you know, like the universe maybe is trying to tell me something. I don't know if you could direct me towards someone who may have.
No, I mean, you have to decide. You have to, you say the universe is trying to tell you something, you know, I think you need to quiet your mind and do some meditation and try to determine what that is. I don't know that anybody externally would be able to sort that out, but you can. And if you are willing to do the work on that, I think you'll find you might be very happy to find out what the universe is trying to tell you.
As I've done research, the pieces seem to fit together like a puzzle. Just tonight, I was reading about how the photon belt may bring about a higher vibrations into the fifth dimension for those souls who choose.
Well, like I said, I mean, it's an internal thing more than you could have 10, 20 million articles, but you still have to sort out, you know, how it's resonating with you. And you're the only one who can do that. So it'd be, you know, if we look for things to tie together, I suppose we can always find them, and it may or may not. I mean, are we talking about a purely intellectual process? Or, as you said, you're having some sort of spiritual awakening. Well, you know, spiritual awakenings may be triggered by an article we read, but we won't be able to piece together a spiritual awakening with, you know, clippings from a newspaper. So at some point, you know, pull back on the stick, take some time, do some meditative work, try to find a way to get into a rhythm of meditation and find out what those messages that you think you're supposed to hear are telling you. Now, oddly enough, my mother was from Louisville and my father was from Rochester, New York, which we go to next. Roy is in Rochester on a wild card line. Roy?
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Not bad. You ever hear of word of mouth recommendations on a good idea or something to do with grassroots? And if something that makes sense, a lot of people hear about it, suddenly it turns into a self-fulfilling concept?
Sure. I mean, that sort of thing happens with products and, right, all the time. What did you have in mind?
Well, I'd like to propose doing something about the energy crisis to make household electricity cheaper for everybody across the nation.
Okay.
I got the idea, doing research and thinking about my own personal experience. And if you look, what it amounts to is sun is always shining, and the sunshine, electromagnetic spectrum, is always available, even at nighttime when the Earth's shadow is, when we have nighttime, we're just in the shadow of the sun. Now, we're in the space age, so originally I thought, well, what if we had a ring of mirrors in orbit around the Earth? We might be able to beam solar energy down. And if we had a big magnifying glass, just the way little kids play with a magnifying glass and burn leaves or ants or boil a cup of water, we might be able to run power plants by having solar energy beams reflecting through magnifying glasses in orbit. You understand what I'm saying conceptually?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't work because of the distance, the weight, clouds, and so forth. But I did some research, and I found that there is technology using satellites called space solar power satellites that collect solar energy, convert it to microwave energy, then using dish antennas like they use for TV and cell phones and so forth, they beam microwave energy to the surface of the Earth. And so if you had a receiving dish next to a power plant, you have a receiving dish boiler, you can boil water, get steam and turn the turbines, and have zero emissions electricity, and it runs day and night, and it effectively becomes cheaper. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, yep. I'm just trying to make sure we get to the payoff here because I've got a lot of people that try to get through.
Basically, two things are happening. They already have begun doing this technology in Japan and will be testing the first beaming system in 2013. Now, if this were to be made in Japan, instead of having to buy our energy from energy cartels selling us oil, pretty soon we'll be getting the microwave energy from Japan, just the way we have to rent the Soyuz rockets to go up to the space station. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yep, and I just need to wrap it up here. So what do you think?
Well, I'd like to be able to get people that are laid off from NASA that are familiar with the technologies that I'm talking about,
right,
and organize them with a business plan, and then be able to raise funds from people that are billionaires, because when I went online, the Manhattan Project
okay.
took 4 years and $24 billion.
I think what you got to do is you got to set up a website, Roy. You've got to get something going where you can have people contact you who know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and be able to write out your plans like that in a more detailed fashion with illustrations and see whether you can't get the ball rolling that way. But heck, as you said, grassroots plans like this start in all sorts of unconventional ways. So why not? You might have heard it here first on Coast to Coast, and it wouldn't be the first time. East of the Rockies, Leela is in Ellsworth, Kansas on Coast to Coast. Leela?
Yes, hello, Ian. And this is another one. The first time I ever tried, I got in.
Yay!
Yeah, and you're my favorite one.
Oh,
and get this, my mother had an out-of-body experience.
When?
Around Good Friday. And we didn't know what it was. And so the ambulance took her to the Ellsworth Hospital, and the doctor thought it was depression.
Huh.
Because, he's not listening at this time in the morning.
Sure. What were the characteristics of what she went through that later you were able to use to define an OBE?
Well, she was lying in bed because she was recovering from hip replacement surgery.
Okay.
And she thought she was standing.
Hmm.
Yeah, but she was lying in bed, and she thought she was standing.
Could she see herself?
I'm sorry?
Could she see herself, or could she see the room from
Yes. She could see. see the room, but it looked like she was standing.
Interesting.
And the other thing, I have had missing time, too, because I used to work in Salina, and anybody who drives Old 40 knows it's very dangerous early in the morning as you go over Isinglass Hill or as you come home from Isinglass Hill with the sun. And there were times I was coming home from Salina, and I swear I knew I was going up Isinglass Hill, and the next time I remember I was down.
Huh.
So I had missing time. And, yeah. But I did tell your screener I was into conspiracy theories. And I remember watching all the coverage on JFK's assassination. And there was this theory that, of course, H.L. Hunt was one of the
right.
wealthy Texans.
Right.
And that's why I never will root for the Kansas City Chiefs because of Lamar.
Well, I just won't root for him because they knocked out my Vikings once in the Super Bowl. So I still have hard feelings for the Chiefs. But good point on that. You know, interesting about Lamar Hunt versus E. Howard Hunt. Lamar Hunt was investigated a bunch of different ways. He really got a thorough examination for his connection. E. Howard Hunt got kind of a pass. And even though E. Howard Hunt has confessed on his deathbed, and we have the recording and we've played it on Coast to Coast, a lot of people still look at this and they wave that one off. They go, "Oh, he was just headline grabbing." And I'm still not so sure about that. He spoke with a great amount of authority, and if anybody would know, I think it would be him. David is in Mesa, Arizona, on Coast to Coast. David,
Eon Conniff, I have been trying to get through to you for years.
Yay!
I
you got through.
Listened. When Art Bell and Richard C. Hoagland were talking about the government setting up a weather control in Alaska. Boy, I'd like to hear some more about that right now.
Yeah.
And secondly, I watched very closely, and I have never heard anybody discuss this with you before, so I'm going to maybe blow your mind.
Okay.
But I watched when JFK was chosen to be the one to run for president, and
right.
somebody down below in the audience pointed their camera up at Johnson, and he turned his head and said, "That SOB, I'll get him." I swear, that's absolute
okay.
truth.
All right, well, where did you... So you saw that live on television?
I saw that live one time only on television. And never have I ever heard anybody mention that after Kennedy's death. And thirdly, I love this part because you are a preacher and you probably have preached the Ten Commandments. And I am very religious. I was saved by Billy Graham when I was 13 years old.
How about that?
And that was awesome. But in the preaching of the Ten Commandments, one of them, which is... that love thy neighbor as thyself. And I have watched over the years, ever since I first heard the Ten Commandments, and how many people do not understand that if they don't love themselves, and I figured out about 84% of the people on this earth do not
right.
love themselves, how can they ever love their neighbors and comply with the Ten Commandments?
Well, I'm gonna make a point here, and I don't want to be
Go
contrary,
ahead.
But
anything.
Love thy neighbor as thyself is not a commandment.
No, well, no,
it's a beatitude. It's in the Bible, and it is both an Old Testament version of that, and then later on, it's something which Jesus says.
But what do you think about speculation or my interpretation that about 84% of humanity does not love themselves?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting... So if you are loving your neighbor as you love yourself, that means you're being loathsome to your neighbor.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some interesting truth that I think there's a greater issue in our... Anytime we get a bunch of people together where... people that love themselves can't even hear what it is that their neighbor needs. If you're so self-focused that your neighbor could be telling you anything, and you just don't hear it. It's just you filter it out. So I think sometimes when we ignore neighbors, it's not because we hate ourselves, and so we're going to treat them hatefully so that we, you know, everybody's treated terribly. But although it's a really interesting point, I just don't know that I agree with the percentages. Because I think a lot of times it's just we're also into our own stuff that we just don't care. Now, I do love the biblical definition of neighbor, however, and if you've never heard it, I'll share it with you here. And we think, you know, in our modern society, in our Western way, of neighbor as a geographical concept. But really, biblically, we say that in the sense of anciently, your neighbor is the person you could not avoid. Anybody you cannot avoid is your neighbor. So that doesn't, if it's the same person you bump into every day because you go to Starbucks at the same time in the morning, they're your neighbor. If there's the person you can't avoid in the parking lot, they're your neighbor. Person in the cubicle next to you. So it doesn't really have to be the person down the street. Jamie is in Casper, Wyoming on Coast to Coast. Open lines. Jamie?
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
I am a Christian, and since 1996, I've been having developing psychic abilities. I've been in contact with the spirit of my future son. I've talked to spirits of the land. I've seen angels, demons, stuff like that, and I've gone to talk to pastors and elders about that, and the best I get is that I'm crazy or I've got demons and stuff like that. So I was
Do you feel like you've got a demon?
No, I don't.
You feel like you have a gift?
I think I definitely have a gift, and it's a gift from God because there's been times when that's been what's gotten me through different things and stuff, and it's actually brought me closer in my relationship to God. But I've traveled the spirit realm and stuff, but I wondered if you knew of a church denomination that would be more accepting of people with psychic abilities.
Well, here's what you want, and then it doesn't have to be a denomination. But what you're talking about is what we call freedom of conscience churches, and there's lots of them. So you want a church that allows for a high amount of freedom of conscience. That is, they're not dictating to you what you have to think, and they will be the ones less likely to judge people for variances. So take your pick. I mean, the Lutheran churches, the ELCA, the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church of America, my Episcopal Church is very loosey-goosey on stuff like that. Methodists, I mean, UCC, there's a ton of them. But that's the term you want to look for. That's what you want to get out of that, the business of turning over to other people, you know, to give you some sort of inventory on whether or not you've been blessed or cursed. You decide that for yourself, I think. And you know, what comes right down to it, too, is everything's a process. So if you're feeling as though you have these abilities, lean into them, see where they take you, and be able to enjoy them as you experience them. I would recommend, really, that book we had a couple of weeks ago on Coast to Coast about people that are going through after-death experiences. They've had heart attacks on tables. It's that comprehensive book, and the name of it escapes me for the moment, so I'll go look it up in just a moment. Because here was a medical doctor talking about angels and demons. It was very interesting. Anyway, more open lines. As you can tell, you never know where it's going to go. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Yeah, I was wrong on something. I want to correct it before somebody else gets to it first, or maybe they already did, like on my Facebook page or something. But I think I said, and I go back and listen to the tape, when we were talking about the guy saying that love thy neighbor as thyself is one of the Ten Commandments. It's not. And I said, though it was a beatitude, no, it's not wrong. It's in Matthew. I mean, it's in the same book as the Beatitudes, but it's much further down. So I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. But we'll get to your open line calls for the rest of this hour. Where are you going to take the show? Got a full boat. Everybody wants to get on. We'll see if we can't get you a space here by clearing out one of these lines here coming up in just a second. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. First time caller line, Izzy is in Las Vegas on Coast to Coast. Izzy?
Hey, good morning, Ian. How are you today?
Good. Open lines. Where are you going to take us?
Well, actually, kind of off the subject from what I was really calling for, the guy that was talking to you about the whole translation of something from the Bible, funny how people make that leap. They always misinterpret things. What he was talking about, I've always told people there's a saying in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. What it actually said was always, thou shalt not murder, if you actually translated it from Hebrew. Different subject, though. Anyways.
Well, you know, I'll speak to that real quickly. You know, I'll go, it certainly does say murder in the stricter sense of the Hebrew, but there is also a subordinate definition that says kill. So it's wrong to make that the primary definition of that particular verb. But also killing and murdering, it also kind of depends on your perspective, you know.
It does, doesn't it? You know, if you're defending yourself, or if you're just being malicious, I'm sure it would really.
The idea of not killing at all is an interesting idea, and maybe one worth considering too. But go ahead. So, what do you want to get to?
What I wanted to get to actually was, I hear all these people calling in about, I've seen an unidentified flying object, lights in the sky, there was three of them, there was one of them, it shot straight up, it this, that, or the other. I had a question for you, because I had seen something one time when I had gotten out of the military, and I'd been all over the world, and I've seen a lot of interesting things, so not to be skeptical, but I'm always very logical about what my eyes are telling me. And what I wanted to ask you is, I wanted you to hear what I had seen and tell me if you had ever heard anybody describe it. I was in the Coachella Valley, out Palm Desert, Palm Springs area, and I was driving down the highway. It was probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was probably end of the summertime, so the sun wasn't gone. It hadn't gone down yet, but it was starting to get down. And up in the sky, I had looked up, and I had seen a very bright object, and it appeared to be rotating, and it appeared to have been throwing sparks.
Okay.
And had I been by myself, I maybe would have thought, you know, maybe I'd eaten the wrong thing, maybe I'm just hallucinating. I had my mom in the car with me, and, you know, we pulled over, and I said, hey, look up in the sky. What do you see? And what we both saw was this object, and it looked like it was probably about 400 feet in the air, throwing sparks, and not standing still. It was rising slowly. And I had never seen anything like that in all of my life. I had never heard of anything like that. And I've never heard anybody give out an account of a unidentified object in the sky that did something like that. Have you?
No, that's interesting. I mean, you hear about all sorts of things, but your experience is something which I'd like to hear maybe from somebody else who's had a similar experience in the time that we have. And see how they would relate to it. Did you ever hear anything about anybody else having seen similar that night? I mean, were there stories?
And that's the weird thing is I went home and I said, okay, you know what? Maybe there's something going on, because I've actually, after being in the military for 5 years, I had seen a lot of really cool stuff that we do as far as our government does. I'd seen rockets being launched off of submarines. I had seen, you know, different kinds of flares being thrown, different kinds of munitions. So I had never seen anything like that. I went straight home and said, okay, well, maybe they're doing testing, you know, because we were very close. It's actually very close to 29 Palms, which is one of the bases I had done, you know, I had done a lot of time at. I said, maybe they're doing something. Maybe someone else had seen something. And I went back and I scoured the news waiting to hear someone say, hey, did anybody see anything? And nobody did. Nobody said a word, but I had seen other people stop their cars and look up too. So I knew it wasn't just us.
Well, you know what? This happened last time we did open lines, where somebody called in and was talking about rocket launches and son of a gun. We settled that in about 25 minutes. So maybe we'll get somebody else who can help you with your experience. Thanks, Izzy. We'll get to Crow, Carson City, Nevada, not too far away, on an open line. Hey, Crow.
Hi, Ian. Hi, America. Hey, I got a couple of UFO stories myself, but the main thing I wanted to tell you about was when a real bad heavy storm we went through when I was aboard ship on the Hornet, USS Hornet's an aircraft carrier, and I did a couple of tours of Vietnam while I was in there, in Yankee Station off Vietnam there. But this particular time was in around December in 65, I believe, and we were in a really terrible winter storm, and I was on the throttles down in the main control, and I had sound power phones on, and I was in contact with the guy up on the bridge and another guy on the fantail, and the guy on the bridge said that he saw waves breaking over the bow of the ship, which is 80 feet from the waterline.
Wow.
And they were landing back on close to the conning tower.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Hornet's about a couple football fields long, so
sure.
You have an idea, force of this.
Right.
And the guy back on the fantail, he said he saw our destroyer go right through waves where it just totally disappeared and come out the other side of the wave, instead of going up and down like you would think,
right.
It was going right through the waves, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that might have been something that at one point people would have disputed and said that could not happen. And now that they are able to prove it, of course, these people are no longer being treated like idiots or liars. And Susan Casey's book that we had on earlier, The Wave, certainly makes a case for exactly what you're talking about. Thanks, Crow. Justin's in Tennessee. Go Vols. Hey, Justin, are you a Tennessee Volunteers fan?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you saw what happened today, but all I can say is go Vols. Anyway, but go ahead. What do you open lines? Go ahead.
Thanks for having me. First, I'd like to say I'm a real huge fan of the show. I've been watching for about 5 years. But one night I was walking to a friend's house, and out of the sky, I just seen like a real big green like flash, and then another one. Now I just always wondered what it was. I told my friend about it, and they all thought I was crazy. But and seeing stuff, but I'm just always wondering what it might have been.
What do you think?
Well, I kind of thought a meteor, but I've never seen a green meteor or a flash like that before.
Yeah, I don't know about the green part. I mean, I don't know why you couldn't have a green meteor. Have you seen any other meteors? I mean, I don't know why it can't be green.
I've just never seen one before, I guess. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. Cause...
Sure. I mean, I don't know. It could also just be some space junk. You know, these things, you do get objects on occasion on reentry that aren't from outer space, but rather just it's our crap coming back to us, basically stuff we've already fired up there that's finally landing back again. And maybe that might be account for the color. Maybe it was metallic, and so that could be it too. Interesting. Very. Maddie is in Anaheim, California. Open lines on Coast to Coast. Maddie.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Well, go ahead.
Well, I feel bad because, in a way, I'm actually not calling in regards to any UFO stories. But
it's open lines. There's no rules on open lines. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a new caller and a new listener. I've only been listening for about a month. So I love your show. So, again, thank you for taking my call. The reason I'm calling, and I'm kind of sort of hoping that either you might have an answer or maybe one of your callers might have an answer, but all my life I've always been, and I'll use the word perceptive, because it hasn't been in just one area. I mean, whether it's via dreams or just feelings, things like that. I've always had little things that have happened, I've been much more perceptive than, I wouldn't say just other people in general, because I think everybody has some gift or ability, but just much more aware, I'll put it that way. But lately, and I would have to say probably within the last couple of years, as I explained to the person screening your calls, it's been kind of like I've been in a dead zone where I'm not getting any of those kind of feelings or perceptions or or I'm completely way off base and completely wrong, where I'll get a feeling in one way it'll be completely opposite, you know, of what I had felt. And I'm just, you know, I've had so many different experiences, I wouldn't even know where to begin to explain some of the things that have happened. But
what do you think it's all telling you?
I don't know. And I think that's kind of where the frustration is because, you know, I like some of your, you know, callers that you've had just recently this evening. I'm a very spiritual person. My faith is very important to me. And I think the last probably experience that happened to me was a couple years ago. Back in February of 2008, I was hospitalized. I had nearly bled to death. And I was going in for a minor surgery, and I was really scared. I had just found out that we weren't going to be able to have children, and I was very devastated by that. And it was during the whole Lent season, and my pastor had come in and had spent some time with me while I was in the hospital and had talked about, we touched a lot upon that whole, you know, the wanting to be a mom and not going to be able to be. And I was afraid of, going in even for this just minor surgery, and I wasn't even going to be completely put out, just into a twilight state. And he kind of made a very brief statement about focusing, like, on angels and things of that nature, you know, just kind of trying to find some positive, something to kind of get my mind off the fear. And I remember waking up from the surgery just, I wanted to speak. I wanted them to get, I wanted to become more coherent so that I could tell somebody what I had heard while I was in this twilight state. And I mean, I heard probably the most beautiful singing I had ever heard in my entire life. And I couldn't actually put any words to it. It was like, you know, but that was the last real experience of anything that I could say that I had. You know what I mean? It was, so I just wanted to know if there was, you know, am I blocking myself? You know, is there just other changes going on?
But it's
other people or yourself would be great.
No. I mean, again, there's a part of me that says that an external voice can't sort that out for you. I mean, I've taken calls like this for years from people, all I can tell you is that you have to take an inventory. You have to be able to take. First of all, I encourage you to take it seriously. Second of all,
absolutely.
Right? These sorts of things tend to come before breakups. So think about it back, like where you were in a relationship with a boyfriend before your husband, and at first, like little things that they did that kind of bugged you were far and few between. But toward the end, just before you broke up, it like little things seemed big. And they started becoming faster and faster and faster until you just knew the only way it was destined to break up. And
I'm sorry for interrupting you. It's really funny that you said that because I was married to somebody, you know, prior, obviously, to this marriage. And before that separation, I would have what you'd call a psychic faucet that got turned on. I mean, it was like I couldn't touch somebody without getting a complete sense of what they were feeling or I mean, it was like all these different things, and it just kept coming faster and faster. So I was actually overwhelmed and exhausted, and that was probably one of the most profound experiences that I had had in my past. Was I remember waking up and seeing this glowing image of somebody lying beside me, just an outline of something, you know, beside me. I remember screaming because, I mean, at first I wasn't afraid, but then mind clicked in. I was like, oh my God, what was that? You know, but I was very energized afterwards, and it was like the psychic faucet had been kind of just dulled to like a trickle. You know what I mean? Coming so fast. But then, of course, I got divorced shortly after that.
Well, I think that's how you have to look at this experience, I would say, Maddie, I'll get to a couple of the callers here real quick, but I think you have to look at this as being like part of that pattern. So, you know, maybe you're breaking up with a concept. Maybe you're breaking up with a particular tradition or traditional way of looking at something, and you're breaking through into something else. It doesn't mean that the other was wrong or bad or not informative or that you can't get back together again someday. You know, that sometimes happens too. We break up with an idea and then We come to it from a different place and we realize, oh, it was our destiny all along. So just think about it maybe that way, and hopefully that'll help. Gary's in Morgantown, West Virginia, on Coast to Coast. Gary?
Hi, Ian. In 2006, I lived in Florida, and I worked at a convenience store, and I worked at night shift. I love night shift, and I probably worked night shift most of my working life. And there was a gentleman that would deliver gas every Tuesday between 3 and 3:30. It was, you know, clockwork. You know, it was never beyond that half-hour span. One morning, I was outside working on the lot, cleaning things up, making things look good. He came to deliver the gas, and I realized he was listening to Coast to Coast in his truck. And I said, hey, man, I said, I can't find Coast to Coast ever since I moved here. What station is that? And he told me and all, and so I was able to listen to it from then on over on the store radio and over the loudspeakers and all. And he said, where are you from? And I said, West Virginia. And he said, I have in-laws that live there. And he told me where they lived and all. And I said, well, that's pretty neat. And the next week, he didn't come. It was the first time in 8 months. But at the time he was supposed to come, between that half hour, the door alarm kept ringing. And I looked, and there was nobody there, and it never did that before, and it didn't do that after. But the next night, another gentleman came delivering gas, and I asked him where the other guy was. It was the first time he never made the run. And he said he was killed in his truck the night before. He had an accident. Hmm. And it was just strange to me that at the time he was supposed to be there, that door alarm went off, and it made chills run through me. And I had, after that, I had Coast to Coast on every night, all night at the station. And customers began to tell me, hey, they didn't mind coming in because they could come in and knew they wouldn't miss any Coast to Coast.
That's how I feel about it. It was just remarkable. Gary, I appreciate that. That's very interesting. Well, yeah, at first I was thinking it's going to end up being like a Mothman story or something, you know. Anytime West Virginia comes up, I've been showing that movie a lot on TV these days, too. I love the images they did. Really well-directed movie. So that's it for Open Lines, but gosh, you whipped through that. I'm sorry I had to end up stranding some people. And I know that many more people want to get a thought in on Coast to Coast. And so Open Lines may be coming up on Friday again with George. He's going to be on tomorrow night, George Norrie, on Coast to Coast. He's got a very cool show lined up. And all right, so I'll roll out with it since it came up earlier. I'll just say, you know, that the greatest commandment, so perhaps at the very heart of what we should all be doing more of is loving our neighbors as ourselves. And have a great Blessing of the Animals Day tomorrow. Shout out to the sharks. Deus te amat. And I do too.